go ahead and call the meeting to order. Roll call.
Murphy?
Here.
Buffo? Kaluzak?
Here.
Hayden?
Here.
Harry?
Here.
Robbins? Stuber?
Here.
All right, join us at the podium.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We welcome you to remain standing if you choose, as we pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, the privilege, and the responsibility to serve our community. We don't take it lightly, Father, and we thank you for your wisdom to help us answer every decision that comes before this board tonight and every other night from here forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Public comments. Some people want to talk?
Yeah.
I know Mike wants to talk. Come on up.
Hi, folks. I'm Mike Golish. Some of you know me. I used to be on the board many decades ago.
You were on the board for a long time.
I haven't been at a board meeting since 2017, so shows you it's been a while. Today I want to kind of talk about a sad event that happened in my life. I'll show you the little black and white cat in that picture. It was Kira. And that's her best friend, Chloe, my golden retriever. I don't know how many of you have pets. I assume, I know Rob does and Terrence does. I don't know about the rest of you, but to have one of your pets, which is one of your family, be taken from you in the way that Kira was taken from us is just awful. Just so some of you understand what I'm talking about, on September 8th, my cat was on the porch. My wife had been outside with our dogs and her, and she went in about 4 o'clock into the house, and the dogs followed her in. The Kira stayed there. She was attacked by two white pit bulls that literally destroyed her. The dogs, my understanding is the dogs were on the loose for 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I'm not sure of the Monday. On Tuesday, they ran into my yard just as I was walking out the back door and tried to get one of my other cats that was asleep on the patio table. I scared him off, and then Justin pulled up in his squad about 30 seconds later, so I don't know how long he had been chasing him.
Yeah, not too long.
But unfortunately, he wasn't able to catch him on Tuesday. They came back on Wednesday. They literally dug under my fence after my wife had gone in to get to the cat. She ran around the house. I was there about 15 minutes after, 10 or 15 minutes after it happened. Her body was in my neighbor's yard. It belongs to the church right across my alley. When it first happened, I tried to give Justin as much information as I could to prove that it was the dogs we thought it was. I had some video, security video of them within my fence, chasing something. I couldn't see what it was. I gave that to Justin, and I showed it to Rick Rainey, who tends to know all the dogs in town, and he told the officer, I can't remember who was
there.
Pardon me?
Ghana. Officer Ghana.
Who was trying to track them down, and that turned out to be where the dogs, they had gone home, I guess. Justin felt that we didn't have enough information to they have a strong case. I was inclined to disagree with him because I was saying this is not a criminal case, this is a civil administrative case, and so it's not. The dogs were in the yard when I saw the cat laying dead, so I figured that was pretty strong evidence, circumstantial as it was. But he was hoping for something more, so I went back in my other security cameras and found, unfortunately, yesterday, or the night, I guess it was the night before, because I sent it to you yesterday, and unfortunately, I could see the cat being chased around the west side of the house, which is the other side from where the fenced in was. She tried to make a break for it and run around the bushes, and they caught her. They grabbed her, one at each end, spun around like she was a dish towel, you know, how dogs do, jerking. She was screaming, and the video was so awful for me. What seemed like an eternity, it was probably only about 40-45 seconds, I imagine. The dog that had her by the head jerked and broke her neck, so she didn't cry anymore. So anyway, he now has that information, and I talked to him earlier today, and he's turned this over to Animal Control to do the investigation, which I appreciate, because I tried to call Animal Control to see. The dogs did not have collars on them, which means they didn't have tags. So I wasn't sure if they had recent rabies shots or any of that. And of course, Animal Control says that, as Mark would probably say, their Illinois considers them property, and so the information, Freedom of Information Act doesn't apply, so they wouldn't tell me squat. So hopefully Justin can find out what happened through this investigation, because I think it's important to know whether they've been, have gotten their rabies shots as well. Justin and I do have one philosophical disagreement, and I'll just mention it as in passing here. The officer that issued the first ticket was for $75, and I knew immediately something was wrong. And I'm sure Terrence and Jared probably, and can't remember who else might have been on the board at the time that was involved in the new ordinance, the 2018 ordinance. But the police department, if you Google the police department, you still get a 2006 ordinance, and I mentioned that to Brian. I don't know if Terrence deals with that or Brian does, but I let him know that the old ordinance still shows up under Tolono PD. So that something needs to be corrected. And I guess the issue, Justin corrected the $75. He made it one ticket for $100. However, if you read the ordinance, particularly under penalties, paragraph B, each day of a violation of this chapter and each animal where applicable shall constitute a separate offense. That tells me more than one issue should have been, one ticket should have been issued. We can certainly wait until the investigation is finished to decide what the right answer is. But I hope you take that seriously. I don't see why you would have put that paragraph B in there unless that was the intent. I think Justin's words were you didn't want to
pile on
was your words, I guess, which under the old regulation, that's probably right. I think under this regulation, we realized, the board at the time realized that that wasn't strong enough. So anyway, I'm out of time probably, but I just wanted to ask you to do a couple of things. One is, of course, wait for the animal control investigation to complete before you decide on anything. Address this issue of the penalty that I just mentioned, on how many tickets should be issued and for what amount. Hopefully they'll check for the rabies, so that'll take care of that. I also found out today that, I guess it's Anna Morris's mother who lives on corner of,
I would just be guessing the Borsino.
About two blocks north of the owners of the pit bulls.
Probably Borsino Walnut.
Yeah, Borsino Walnut, that's it. I understand that her mother's cat was killed by two white dogs a couple of months ago, and I don't know if they reported it.
I don't believe
but I would hope that you could outreach and investigate that and see whether we have two dangerous dog issues, not just one. And the last thing is, I hope you, and the Justin and I are in agreement on this one, I hope you hire animal control again. I know when I was on the board, we decided they were outrageously expensive at the time, and we decided to not do it, but I hope you reconsider it. I keep saying we, I don't know what I'm still trying to be on the board, I'm sorry. I hope you reconsider that, because I think Justin and I would agree that the police officers don't catch dogs every day, and so they don't have the experience, and they're not probably as good at it. And I certainly don't hold Justin accountable for his inability to get him on that Tuesday before my cat died, but I think if we had had animal control, I might not have had to be here today. So that's all I have. Thank you very much. And
thank you. I'm so sorry
really
about what
you
I just hope it never happens to your animals.
So, where did you find that ordinance? Was it on the police department's webpage or the village's webpage?
If you Google, don't go in like we normally would go in. If you Google Village of Toronto Animal Control, Melinda will give two hits, and one is its number and
yep,
the police department.
We use American Legal now.
I understand
that.
But for some reason,
the other one's still up
Ryan
there.
Was going to try to get it to redirect. But right now it's still not redirected.
Wasn't it something you were trying to change too? Google has taken us somewhere else too when you were doing some of the web stuff?
Probably.
And it was like...
We probably wanted, because you only wanted ordinances
I know.
In one place.
It was just like it was driving us nuts. Once it's on the web, it's always there.
Apparently it's still not fixed.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
One other question actually is the agenda posted on the... website?
Mm-hmm. It's on our website, it's on the Facebook, and we also post
it
on this.
I couldn't find it today. I couldn't find anything after August. Is it on another page from the meeting page?
No, it's on the meetings page.
You just kind of keep scrolling where it says more.
There's a little arrow at the bottom.
Yeah, there's next.
Next.
So this is like the third page. Yeah.
So, never mind about that. However, the members of the board, I don't think, are up to date because it all says that some of them are expiring last May. So I suspect you need to fix that one at least. So, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank
it's
you.
A never-ending battle to keep it updated. All right, Eddie.
Oh, okay. I think most of you know me. I see if maybe a new face or two, but Eddie Gregg owns Lou and Denny's here in Toronto, and Jeff's here too, also on Trackside. But it was brought to my attention before Neverman's event, the flooring company, that I need to listen to the board meeting you guys had in, must have been the first one in August. And I did, and there's some things that stuck out to me. One, I kept hearing the word private, semi-private, which I don't think that happened at all. I mean, They had signs out on the road, they advertised in CU bands and fans, so anyway, that's just a little thing. And then whenever you was giving him this the temporary one, you gave him a permit that was from somewhere, like what was it? They were a non-for-profit organization, Rob, but you was just using that as an example. I forget what it was.
Yeah, we gave them, we kind of based it off what the Unity PTO would do for them.
The PTO is what it was, but you know, that is a non-for-profit, and I just don't know how a flooring company needs to be for-profit in the booze business. You know, this is our livelihood. I mean, this is all we got, and I believe Mr. Neverman's probably doing just fine. I talked to the lady, she came talk to me, and very nice lady, and I think they're doing just fine. And I don't object to a few special event permits, but you mentioned in the last meeting, or the one that I'm referring to, mm-hmm. about a permanent one, which I definitely disagree with. It's a tough business right now. I mean, we got 5 bars in Toronto now, and that's a flooring company. Like I said, this is our bread and butter. I mean, he could sell, he's gonna make money no matter what. I see he's doing very well with tax dollars coming in, but he could sell it real cheap because it ain't his bread and butter. I just don't think there's a need for a temporary or a permanent liquor license out there. Then also some of the things that, did he get a state permit? Temporary permit.
I don't know.
Because I had to do that when we had some stuff at the launch pad. They had some bags tournaments that I represented the alcohol. I got a permit from you guys, and I had to get one from the state, which I don't think that was done. There's also how he buys his booze. We have to buy it through distributors at a higher price, way higher price. I pay over $20 a case for a case of beer, and I can go up to Benny's and get it for $13-14 a case, you know. And I just really don't think there's a need for a flooring company in Toronto to have a liquor license. Like I said, this is our bread and butter. It's pretty tough times, and I just don't see the need for it. I hear he's in a band. He likes to entertain. Okay, does that, just because you have a flooring company, that gives you the right because you're in a band? I mean, like I said, I'm not against a few events, temporary events, but I think he should, you mentioned, well, if he has some, that way he doesn't have to come back to the board and get temporary permits, you know, if he has a full-time liquor license. Well, I see nothing wrong with him having to come back when he wants to do an event and be approved by you guys. But that's really all I have to say. I'm just throwing out my feelings there, and maybe Jeff has something he wants to say.
Yeah, well, I didn't sign up, but I'd like to say a couple of things. I think most of y'all know who I am. I certainly know who most of you are. You know, when I was approached by a couple of people saying, well, yeah, you know, you're going to have some more competition. Neverman's is going to have a bar out there. And I'm like, what? A flooring company. Okay, well, you know, you have to think of it practically, all right? Yeah, Eddie's right. We got 5 bars in this town. We're spreading the pie pretty thin already as it is. And if you grant him a liquor license, I guarantee you, as sure as I'm standing here, within 30 minutes, he'll be on the horn to the Illinois Gaming Board getting his gaming machines. There's nothing to stop him from doing so. I mean, once you grant him a full-time liquor license, you know, Rob says, well, you know, we could tell him he can't have machines, but no, you really can't do that. He could fight you on that and probably win, because if he meets the criteria from the gaming board, you know, the municipality is going to get overruled. You know, I mean, we're talking.
Champagne limits them. They actually
business.
Closed some of their gaming down.
Yeah.
They actually closed some of the gaming houses down in Champagne.
Well, that's because of the oversaturation.
Yeah.
I mean, and this market here is pretty saturated as it is. You know, we don't make a lot off the booze. I don't make a lot off the food. I do a lot of pool business. Y'all know that. And the games are a big part of my income as well. And I guarantee you that if you give these guys a full-time liquor license, that, you know, you're not just cutting one throat, you're cutting them all. You know, they're just, you know, I mean, special use permit, great. You know, I mean, Eddie and I, we got to go get a special use permit if we want to have outside activities at all. If I want to play music outside, I got to come to you and I got to get a special use permit, pay my fees. Hey, that's cool. I'm all good with that. I mean, giving Neverman kind of a carte blanche to say, well, you guys feel like having a party this weekend, I've given you this license, you don't have to talk to us or nothing, you know, to heck with it. Just go on and do it. Have a good time. You know, we worked hard for all this. And, you know, I never thought that I'd see the day they'd hand them out like candy at Halloween. You know, I just don't see the need for it. Because you hand him one, you know, say the car wash down the road wants to have one. Hey, what's to stop him? You know, I mean, as long as they've got the money, I guess you can get pretty much what you want.
I don't think most villages would give them to a four or company.
You know, I mean, it's not so much the fact that he's a flooring company. It's just that I just don't see him with any kind of background in it. And I see the logistics would have to be a nightmare for him. I mean, to set up accounts with distributors, to get inspected by the health department, inspected by, you know, the city, the state, you know, I mean, all that stuff. I don't know whether he's got adequate bathroom facilities, you know, what kind of securities he's using. You know, I have no idea. I haven't, I guess it's out in the warehouse, you know. I mean, do you consider that an indoor event or an outdoor event? Because it's got a roof on it, you know. I really feel like we need to really think about this before we just grant a liquor license. And that's all I'm asking, is to really think about and think it through as to what you're opening yourself up for. And what, you know, I mean, granted, you know, the amount of taxes I pay versus what that foreign company pays, probably minuscule in the grand scheme of things. But I pay them, you know, the same rate everybody else does. And I'm hoping that that affords me some kind of a say in how the village is run, you know. I mean, I want to contribute all I can, you know, but I want to do it the right way. I mean, I've got a pretty good reputation. I mean, people know me. I don't, you know, serve the underagers, you know. Run a clean place, you know, and Eddie, he's the same, you know. I mean, he has fun, you know. He has those little outdoor events, and that's great. It works for him, you know.
And there's another thing: they should have been inspected by the health department before they had the event.
Well, I mean,
and also, then I'm paying $4,000 or $5,000 a year to music license company. Which,
oh, yeah,
I'll guarantee you,
ASCAP,
ASCAP, BMI, and CCAP.
Yeah.
There's three of them. They just represent different artists. I'll guarantee you they already know that he had an event out there last weekend with live music.
Yeah.
And he's going to learn about them guys, too. I'll guarantee it.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
it's $1,800 a year just to have the privilege of playing copyrighted music in public. I mean, it doesn't apply to a jukebox, but it applies to everything else, any kind of live music. You know, if it's copyrighted anywhere, you know, from the Star Spangled Banner all the way down to anything, I mean, unless it's completely original, uncopyrighted tunes, they're subject to those tariffs. But, you know, that's getting sideways. I mean, you know, what he did wrong, you know, granted, he made the mistakes anybody would make when you first start up this kind of stuff. There's a lot of things to consider. I mean, I can imagine what the insurance man had to say when he says, I'm going to have a live event with alcohol. You know, I imagine that would be quite a little rider, you know, because I know I pay $500 a month for that privilege of having any, you know, having alcohol. Just, just to make sure that I'm covered and my people are covered and you guys are covered, so. But that's what I just wanted to make sure that my feelings were known, you know, and I know that you guys, you know, you're a smart bunch of people. I think you can see that this would not be the greatest thing in the world, but I'd like to see you make some money off of it. You know, I'd like to see the city get some income from this that they wouldn't normally have. And I really think that, you know, by maybe boosting those special use permits, because I mean, if he's having that big of parties, then he might be able to afford to give a little extra, you know, consumer, you know, pay consumer to your ability, I guess. But, you know, I think that's, you just need to leave the status quo as it is, you know. Things have worked pretty well so far, and until we make a what I call a huge population shift, where I think more, you know, establishments like that could be tolerated, I just think that you're kind of reached your max. Thanks for listening to me. I know I'm a rambler.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Council members, thanks for the opportunity to speak tonight. My name's Clint, and I'm here from Tolono. I'm a managing member of a company called McGraw-Hooper Properties, LLC. We renovate houses, build new. I've been doing it for about 2 years. But about two or three, maybe 3 months ago, council member Buffo presented an offer for us because I couldn't make it to the meeting. She did it in executive order, I believe, to purchase the lot that the village owns at 105 East Daggy. And from there, we went to the P&Z meeting to see if we can get it rezoned, because our plan of action is to purchase it, divide it, and then put a duplex on each end. So once we divide the lot, and it would we would have a Daggy Street address and a Broadway Street address. So I brought printouts like I did for P&Z so you guys can see kind of what we're looking at here. We could pass those around. There's a graphic at the bottom that shows the lot split up. And so we haven't really pushed forward with getting a variance with the P&Z. With lumber prices, we kind of put a halt on the project or even pursuing it. But now we're looking pretty good, so that's why I'm here tonight, and I haven't introduced myself to this council at all yet. So basically, we're here to offer $15,000 for the lot that the village owns. Hopefully, I think the village still owns it as of now. And if that's something you guys want to counter offer, we're up for that too. But if you agree upon selling that lot to us now, we can get things underway and get a contract for sale. Now, we'd like to own the lot and then pursue the variance with P&Z.
What if you didn't get the variance for the duplex?
We will settle for two single family homes.
Because I know you're going to get pushback from that area.
Absolutely, we assume that as well. And so this is
plenty
plan
of
B.
room in that on that lot, and I think, and I like the idea of having it the way you're.
Is that lot not two lots? I thought it was two lots.
I
already.
Think it is, but I don't know. I don't know that. I mean, it's a huge lot.
It's a huge lot.
And
I'm
like
positive it's two lots.
I like this
already?
Idea.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't quote me on that, but.
You know what?
We'll check with
PNC. I had GIS up, but my machine crashed.
I don't know where I think that, but I'm pretty sure.
All right. So my contact information is on that document as well.
And I like this concept. This is exactly what I thought would look really cool there, is in them addressed off either one of the streets. And one of the complaints from the neighbors, well, it's too much traffic. Well, this is perfect because it divides it up on the two different streets.
Absolutely.
And I think the house next to it, since that lot went down, they completely remodeled their house next to it.
Yeah, it looks really nice.
Yeah, if you were in that house
really
and that other house was up, why would you have improved your property?
So it's like that, it's anything, it's just kind of like making the neighborhood look so much nicer.
So we've done this in Mahomet, all the way out to Bellflower. I'd just really like to do something like this in my own hometown, get a nice project. We like better in the community, so either be duplexes on both ends of that lot, or two single-family homes. We'd like to own it first and then proceed with P&Z trying to get a variance, and then we'll go from there. So, like I said, in executive order, just, you know, talk about it. If you guys want to counter or even reject the offer, just let me know either way. My contact information's on those documents, and that's it for my presentation. Any more questions for me?
I don't think so. We got your contact information.
Okay, great.
And you guys have any questions for me?
So, if you went with single-family houses, you would reduce the square footage by 500 square feet?
Yeah.
Just due to cost?
That's correct.
Now, would you sell them or rent them if you had duplexes?
We're in the business of holding property, so we would rent for a while, then eventually sell.
Do you have rental properties now?
We do. We have a total of 7, and 4 in renovations now, so we'll have 9 complete units soon.
Do you have any in Toluna?
Yes, I was going to say the same thing.
I do not, but I'd love to.
Let's think of the exact same thing, so.
We have 2 in Urbana, 1 in Villa Grove, and a couple in Mon.
Okay.
That lot appears to be.
Did you find it?
It appears to be 3 separate parcels. Nope, that's 1.
Yeah, but is it big?
It was subdivided. That section was in smaller pieces, but it is actually 1 pin right now.
But it shows it as 2 lots, though, on the GIS map?
No. It's 1 pin that, like, those 2 lots, actually, next to each other were 50 feet wide by 150 feet long, but based on some old plan, but yeah.
Yeah, so he'd need to replat it into 2 lots to provide.
Is there enough room for 2 lots?
I don't know.
How big did you say it was?
Get everybody involved.
Let's get them all.
Let's see if we can just throw this up on the screen.
I think the way, I mean, the way he's dividing it is the only way you could divide it to make the lots work. So we're fit.
Yeah.
So that would be. So that's, am I reading that, but that should be roughly about 140 feet wide. Yeah. So that ought to be doable. And you know, if you do entertain an offer like this, you could also handle it like a developer. You could say, well, we'll sell it to you, but you got to turn it into 2 lots. And you got to put the 2 houses you just described within your property, something like that, if that's important to the board.
Sounds the discussion nearly over.
Yeah, it's over.
Thanks again. Appreciate it.
I like that. We'll talk about it. And I like the idea because this is kind of what I thought would end up being there anyway.
Okay. Sounds good.
I walk by that almost every day, except in the last 2 weeks. And to see it not falling down in just a blighted property. And it's clear now, but the hope that something would be on it is good.
Absolutely. I think it was the right choice to.
There it comes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a nice it was a nice house at one time.
Yeah.
The bigger
as
house
I understand it.
Yeah.
And let us know if you have any other lots for sale too.
we could have some. Here.
Thanks. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
So we just put that on like.
Anybody else want to talk?
The agenda.
Before we move on? We'll talk about it in executive session real quick, if you want to, and then before we make any decisions.
That it has to be on another agenda, doesn't it?
No, we can talk about it in executive session.
Well, right.
And then if we vote
it.
On it, it'll have to go on another agenda.
Okay.
Correct. You're correct. Yes. All right. All right. Reports, engineers. Sorry.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor Johnson, for Graham Engineers. A couple of quick anecdotes. As we mentioned at the last meeting, your wastewater treatment plant NPDES permit is out for public notice. That 30-day period ends October the 11th, and then EPA will consider any comments that they receive before finalizing your NPDES permit. So we're within a month or so of having that final permit, and it'll settle a lot of issues that we need to address as we upgrade the wastewater treatment plant to meet that permit. Secondly, I mentioned at the last meeting that we were hoping to do some special sampling of the raw wastewater to determine what's called readily biodegradable COD. But the wastewater treatment plant is currently having some treatment issues, so we're going to have to postpone doing that sampling. Hopefully, it'll happen sometime in the next month, but it's kind of contingent upon having a properly operating plant so that we can assess its capabilities when it's upgraded to do additional things. Then the biggest item is we're roughly at the one-third point of having final design plans ready to go out for bids. And typically that's a milestone that's addressed by a review in detail of everything that's been determined and decided, and then, you know, a thumbs up to put flesh on that skeleton and get it ready to bid by the end of the year. So where I'm at right now is hoping to have a rather lengthy, detailed study session attended by Scott and Ryan and anybody else that's interested, but it'll probably be a two-hour meeting going into intricate details of what we think we're going to have when we're done with this wastewater treatment plant. But then following that, if everybody's in agreement that it's ready to be presented to the full board in a summary session, that could happen sometime after the first week in October. So I'm hoping to have a meeting by the end of next week. Friday would be ideal, but I need to talk to Scott and Ryan and make sure that they're available because they're so close to this project. And then anyone else could be certainly welcomed, you know, to sit through a pretty dull session of, you know, what size are these pipes and how thick are these walls kinds of discussion. And then we can sprint towards finishing the project by the end of the year after that review session. Is that making any sense? You know, it's a, we call it a preliminary design, but it's really a 30% of final design is the terminology we keep throwing around, confusing everybody. The project's coming together nicely. There are a couple of decisions to be made, and that's what I'm hoping will come out of this study session, and then it'll be blessed by the full board. You know, mostly aesthetic kinds of things. You know, do you prefer grass or gravel, you know, here and there, those kinds of
gravel.
Because we're right next to that park, and so you folks, you know, have an interest in what the plant might look like from the top of the hill that's right next door. Those kinds of things need to be considered. My biggest concern right now is the inflationary, you know, cloud that's hanging over. It's very difficult to get commitments to pricing that's 6 months out. And so, you know, we're struggling with that a little bit because, you know, people like to know what things are going to cost when they get ready to bid something. So we're trying to do our best to put a number on it that we can live with. And so all of that will be explained when we have a public rolling out of what the 30% design looks like sometime in October. And then as an anecdote, I think I saw a letter to the mayor from EPA saying, we're holding $1.5 million for water projects. Do you guys want that money? And if you don't submit all the documentation for that money we're holding, we're gonna give it to somebody else after March 31st. And I think the board had decided not to pursue water improvements this fiscal year, so I don't know that that's gonna create any heartburn for anybody, but EPA is monitoring all of that because they like to spend all the money that they've allocated for improvements, and they have a bypass session after March 31st where folks that didn't get money held in reserve form, if they've moved forward, they're rewarded by being given money after March 31st that was being held for communities who didn't move forward. So it's just a way for them to true up their budget by the end of the year. Any questions on any of that?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Public Works, what you got for us?
Well, I've been dealing with water leaks and seems like it's never ending right now. Just everywhere. We're getting them.
Are they just water leaks or from the
The last four we've dealt with have just been just little stuff that's popped up. I mean, nothing they've done. They've been gone for a week and a half now.
Okay. Are they all done or?
No, they
they're on my street.
Yeah, they're just moving back into town today to get under the railroad tracks and do the south side of town.
They haven't let the other side of town, this side of town yet.
No.
Are they still trying to get
the permit for this crossing?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
They're still waiting on it. They've got the paperwork and everything in, but yeah, they're still waiting on the permit. And the way that one of their guys was talking the other day, it may be October, November before they get it. They're not sure.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, right.
I know.
And I do have a... I know it's not on the agenda, but I'd like to talk about doing away with the contract for the wastewater plant and us taking it back. Put that money towards the project. I've got some numbers put together for labs and what we need.
Let's
and
hear it.
Push the numbers out to us and let's look at it.
Let's hear it.
Plus the
can you fix the ammonia problem?
We can figure it out.
So I don't get a panic phone call.
Yeah. But between that and I'd like to take back over the line locating too.
Okay.
As
well,
many,
I mean, they're not doing it for us, so.
Well, I mean, they're still billing us.
Yeah.
We shouldn't pay it at all, because even the lines they're putting on the ground, they're not locating. They're just painting.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's four or five of the last hits they've had on us have been just them throwing paint marks on the ground and saying it's located. And I also have a price on a new locator for us, so.
Okay. Can you send those all to us? We'll have them for the next board meeting.
I can email all the information to you.
Perfect.
All of them.
And we'll get them on the next agenda for the next board meeting. We can look at that. I'm not sure when our contract's up for ERH, but I think we can cancel that whenever. So that's in the clause. So I know we have to get a truck.
Well,
or we can
borrow one. We can figure that out. That's not hard to do.
Right. Any other questions for Scott? Anything else for us? I got a lot of compliments on the woods. Lots and lots of compliments on the woods.
Yeah.
People were very happy. You guys worked on it for 3 days and made it 100 times better. The Boy Scouts camped in it that weekend.
Did they?
Yeah, and that's what I want to see in there. I want to see them being used. And the neighbors around that area were happy because you can actually see through it. People weren't doing things they shouldn't be doing in there. And it just took care of the trash that was collecting in there just by cleaning it up a little bit. I'd like to look at maybe doing that. We got to get permission first, but over there, across from Claire's.
Oh, okay.
That the wooded area over there too.
We, some of that down when we had the mower here.
Yeah, that's railroad property, but the grain brands have a lease on it right now for I think the rest of the year. And I know they wouldn't care if we went over there, but I want it in writing. It's okay to go over there because
right.
I think it's just full of trash. And I think there's some guy that sleeps in there sometimes, so please don't mow him over.
But yeah, other than that, I don't have anything else.
Okay, cool. Police department.
I would just like to bring up for discussion, Mike kind of touched on it earlier with his loss of his cat, of getting a contract with animal control to allow them to handle these calls and other animal calls so the police department doesn't have to. We're not trained. We do not have the experience.
How much would that be, Justin?
It is, right now we are budgeted for $5,136.03. That is just for impoundment. That is for us to take the animals up there, to have them deal with them. That is for nothing else. It would cost $3,378.06 additional for them to come down, handle the calls, the vicious running at large, the dog bites, loose chickens, loose snakes, whatever it may be, bat in the house, things of that nature. But one, we don't have, I mean, we do have some equipment, but like these dogs that Mike was talking about earlier, one of those is fairly big.
Do you have this in your budget? You and Brandy were talking about this.
We're budgeted for the $5,516, the additional item.
Where did those numbers come from?
From animal control.
I thought it was
I
in
thought
like
it was more too.
$20,000, $25,000.
I did too, thought it was more
too.
That's why
I dropped it.
Okay, yeah, no, basically I got the numbers when we were working on the budget, and that was from the director at the time. I don't know if the 5136 is a set number, how that goes, but as far as the service, she said that goes per capita, which is $1.49. She told me that basically it was the 8,500 roughly for both services.
I would suggest we do it.
Yes,
and be done with it, and we'll figure out where we'll get the money for it.
Would that be in our files, that whole?
It should be. I swear it was more too, and that's what Justin and I were talking about it. I had to check because it just didn't sound right when he's telling me this, and I'm like,
so that's like what we paid before, and then it like quadrupled.
And that's what we dropped it.
Yes. I'm not saying wrong.
Well, this is coming from the director of animal control.
I mean, Justin went and double checked, and that's
and then
the
I
got
a hold of them, well, whatever it was, last week, and I said, this is what Stephanie told me, and they're like, well, we will go with the same numbers.
So if somebody wants to make a motion, I suggest we.
I make a motion that we go with the Champaign County Animal Control contract.
It's not on the agenda.
Next meeting. How's that sound?
And you guys can hear all that in the house.
Well, I mean, stuff like that is. It is when we're dealing with 60-pound aggressive pit bulls.
Well, I mean, you're going to still get sent to vicious animals, probably.
Right. Well, but at least I know that somebody is
absolutely
showing up with the band and the equipment that can, and the experience to deal with it humanely.
Would you guys cover calls? Because I'm sure we're going to get asked. I know how it is in Champaign. Are you guys going to go on calls if animal control's not on?
I mean, yeah. I mean,
okay. I'm just curious.
Right. I mean, we're
going to ask. So.
I mean, like I said, we've been, but we are. It just seems like the pit bull population in town has grown, and a lot of the issues it seems like at least that we deal with kind of go along with that.
And trapping cats.
And trapping cats. There's about 180 over on this neck of the woods that could be caught.
Can we look at increasing our dangerous, our fees for?
So what he gave us is actually in our current ordinance.
Okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I looked it up.
Because when I looked it up, it talked about there was a one-time fee.
Yeah, it goes up. It's progressive. We change it to progressive.
Okay, well, I'm looking at your American Legal Publishing. Maybe I'm not looking at the right thing, though. Because this is under penalty, 90.99.
This is
Scroll down to D.
Yeah, it says any owner of a dog running at large prohibited by 90.02 shall be given the following fines at any given 1 year period. It's $100 per offense. It's not per day.
First offense right is here. 100.
B is each day of the violation of this chapter shall constitute a separate offense.
So you're saying that the second offense is $150 per day is what you're getting at, correct? Is that how you would read that?
First offense 100, second offense 150, and third offense is 250, and every offense thereafter is 250.
No, what I'm getting at is, let's go back to B. This is each day the violation in this chapter shall constitute a separate offense. So you're saying that first day one's $100, day two's 150, and then day three is 250.
Correct.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
That is
correct. And that's based on, and that's actually 90.02, that
correct.
First, second, third offense, which would be.
So how many days are we at with that already? Do I dare ask?
It was, I mean, I don't want to say just,
like
but it was like two or three. I mean, the dogs were had been running loose, and I couldn't catch them. I mean,
were they impounded?
No.
Okay. They're still running.
No, I mean they are.
They're home
at the residence.
Okay.
They were at the time that this after it happened. They made it back there and haven't been, as far as I know, seen since. But we didn't take the dogs now.
Did you see the dogs?
I did. Yes.
Yeah.
Did
at the house? No.
Okay.
But you saw them running large.
Yes.
So there was no way for you to see any evidence of
that's Butler's place.
These dogs having
sold.
Been involved in any kind of incident?
No. Well, no. The dogs that I saw, one of them had a very distinct feature.
Okay.
That somebody had called in and thought that it had been hit by a car with a damaged leg.
Okay.
When I talked to the owner, they said, no, it's a, I think, like a fatty cyst or something growing off of it.
So it's confirmed.
Yes, so I.
Okay.
Yeah.
Positive ID on that dog.
And I will go back because they, well, with everything going on social media and stuff like that, there was a lot going back and forth that I didn't look at, but I told them when I had video of the actual, if I got that, I would show them, and I do now, so I can confirm. But it's, I mean, when Rick said that those are the dogs and that's where they belong, I mean, he had experience with them,
yes.
I think, previous, so.
So then, as the police department, what would be the next steps? Having the video evidence, having other evidence.
Basically,
what would be the police
that has, I have sent the video and our reports to animal control. And then if they want to look at it and investigate it per the State Animal Control Act, then they can if they want to. It basically in their hands, from what I understand, to deem the dog as dangerous.
So,
and then,
sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
You're fine.
But, so I guess the question that I imagine a lot of other people, so we're not streaming tonight due to technical issues, but I imagine if we were, people would be asking, at what point do the dogs get taken away from these owners to put, while the investigation's going on, into a more secure location, if you will? And are you telling me that we don't have that ability, we don't have that right, I guess, or legal authority to do that?
I would have to ask animal control.
This is the same thing that happened when the dog detected those dogs.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
That we were told we could not take them because it was a dog-on-dog crime, essentially. And if it was a person, then yes, we could have taken them.
Right.
It was a crime onto a person, then we could have taken it.
And that's what makes it a dangerous dog to a vicious
dog.
Right. If a person is involved.
I mean, it's still bad regardless of it.
Right.
But
there was that other situation over by me that dog did attack a person and put her in the hospital, and then that dog was taken.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Never,
yeah.
And if
and
it's
never
a person,
came back.
To take it, period.
Yeah.
If it's an animal on animal crime, then
that's the least you're looking at a running at large charge, I'm assuming, through ordinance, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
thank you.
That's the least.
Yeah.
I knew we were about.
And I'm, as far as what was mentioned about the $75 ticket and the $100, I'm not sure where the, I guess maybe he did the same search that Mike did and found the $75, but after finding that and talking with Mike, I went over, I issued the $100 ticket, one, but for the running at large and told them to disregard the $75 one, so there was no confusion on that.
And we're gonna fix this too. I believe in officer's discretion, so we're not gonna go issue a ticket for each dog, for each offense, for each day. What we're gonna do going, moving forward is we're gonna adjust the police department policies, and going forward, we're gonna adjust their policies, if we have a policy to go forward on this, so.
Can we get them a hard copy of the?
Yes.
If they don't have it already.
Well, they can print it, you can.
Well, just make sure they print the right one.
I sent the link to the website.
Yeah.
That they can go on, I mean, you can go on, it's easy to print off any ordinance that you want.
Plus you can hold up in the squad cars too, can't you?
Chapter 90, it's animal control.
We used to have a cheat sheet there for a while that had all the ordinances in. So, anything else for Justin?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks, Justin.
Alright. Anything for the board members to say? Thank you, Terrence.
Brady, the next month, yep, auditors will be back for us to actually officially vote to accept the audit, correct? Cause we didn't vote to accept it last meeting. I know that there's nothing we can do, but I thought that we actually voted to accept it. Okay, alright, then never mind.
I don't have anything really in plan of zoning. Since they have.
We did receive our first, part of ones.
Okay, treasure, I'm sorry, I skipped treasure, I'm sorry.
So we have that chart of some.
Which one is that?
Is it two or something?
American Rescue Plan, okay, cool.
The half of the 416.
Cool. Consent agenda. I'm not gonna try to read half of it, maybe I'll just stop and listen.
Motion to approve minutes of the September 7th, 2021, regular session board meeting, bills and warrants as presented, 2021, September 17th payroll, water sewer usage and build reports, and sewer credit.
Yeah, the locating service was not in there, correct?
Correct.
Well, they're sitting in there clipped together.
But they're not.
They're not signed.
And it wasn't in the invoices either.
Thank you.
Are you good on bills, Lynn? I make a motion to approve the consent agenda as read.
Second.
Buzak?
Yes.
Hayden?
Yes.
Harry?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Alright, Fisher Farms, you have a new memo on that one?
So, yeah, you've got a memo that we're basically recommending to you that, we will, put a request for proposal on your, agenda for the next meeting. And then we're gonna stick a little ad in the newspaper three times, once a week. And then at the November 16th meeting, you'll consider the proposals, including, one where you could possibly exchange an easement for land, and then we could close immediately thereafter. You don't need to take any action tonight, but that's what will be on your agenda, unless you wanna, if you have questions or you wanna somehow do it a different way, tell me, but this is kinda what I recommend.
Cool, any questions you'd like? Nothing with the junior trustees, and we have nothing on the Donahue invoices, they're radio silent.
That's correct, I haven't been contacted.
The locating services, there's an email thing going around, they did notice that we didn't pay them. So they still haven't gotten back to me. And then this ordinance 13, we have an ordinance on the.
Houston.
Houston, I was gonna, I wanna see the Hudson, the Houston.
Houston.
Pre-annex agreement.
And that agreement that's in front of you is consistent with everything that we talked about, so this would allow them to do the breakout that they want. And then once they become contiguous to the village, if they ever do in the next 20 years, then they would annex to the village. This document would be recorded, so that's part of the public record, so if they ever sell the lot, future owners know that they're subject to that agreement. They've already signed the agreement, so if you pass this tonight, the mayor will sign this tonight, and tomorrow they can start doing what they want to do.
Now, this is the property right across from the high school.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
It's been so long since.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this would affect the entire track, not just the breakout.
Right. Motion to approve ordinance 2021-0-15, an ordinance approving a pre-annexation agreement for southwest 1/4, southeast 1/4, S-24, T-18, 10-R-8, north R-8, east of 3rd, prime meridian, C-C-I.
Kelowna.
Kelowna.
Second.
Buzak?
Yes.
Hayden?
Yes.
Terry?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
All right. And discussion on the liquor license at 102 North Lawn, that is Little Buford's, is selling or sold. And they're wanting to apply for a liquor license. Can we change our liquor license? They have to have someone that lives in town.
They do.
They have a manager that lives in town. On this one, you guys can do what you wish, but before I sign the liquor license, we're going to do a background check to make she's researching. It's been a while since we've had to do one, so we're going to do it through the state police and do that thing before we do it. So you guys can approve it if you would like, but make it contingent of the background check, and then they have that, because then I have to sign it as a liquor commission, or.
And the background check is on the manager or the actual owner?
It'll be on the owner and the manager.
Yeah, I think it's both, normally.
Yeah. It'd be on both.
Do we know the name of this place yet? I guess it's not what's up there.
I don't know.
Okay.
84.
You know what the name is?
It's 84.
I guess this is a weird time to ask it, but how many liquor licenses do we get out?
This is just replacing one.
Okay.
So
but
this
how many do we have, I guess?
We don't have any more to give out. We took
so that
one
one's
off.
It.
Maybe 10 years ago.
We have
okay.
a set amount, so the
that's
ordinance,
what I'm
yeah, we'd
okay.
have to, if we, so say we gave the, to bring up a patent thing, say we gave the flooring a liquor license, we would have to create a new liquor license in our ordinance
okay.
to act, and we'd have to redo the ordinance to give them one.
That works.
Because it's, liquor licenses are controlled by our ordinance.
Yes, you're correct. I'm good with that.
Slowly spitting it out there. Oh, you have it up there, perfect.
I make a motion to approve the liquor license at 102 North Long Street.
Contingent on
background investigation, sorry.
I'll second.
Buzak?
Yes.
Hayden?
Yes.
Terry?
Yes.
Stuber?
Abstain.
All right. I don't really have any updates on the nuisance file. You guys wanna go, thanks, guys. Do you have any questions or comments?
We were just curious, I mean, we saw that, we thought
that was the one on Neverland Drive.
No, like, you should've asked, you didn't have to wait the whole time. It's right across the street from you, it's almost the same address as yours.
Then I started looking at the address and I go,
I thought, I talked to you yesterday and told you they sold.
Yeah, I knew they sold, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that Wishaw was gonna buy that place.
I know he talked about it.
Yeah, I would've welcomed that.
Yeah, I know they're changing the food is all I know. I got a really brief call from Jeff a couple, like, 3 weeks ago or whatever, saying that he's selling it. And what would it take to get a new liquor license? I said, apply for it at the board. And that was about our, and he said he's changing the food. That was about our entire phone call.
I say good luck to them.
Yeah, I have no problem with you guys. You know, it's a bar.
It's a bar, they're doing what they do.
So you said there are five, who's the fifth? I don't want to miss somebody.
We got the Loose Cobra, we got Jax.
Loose Cobra, that's the one I was missing, thank you.
Yeah, he's barely a bar.
He's open occasionally.
Barely a bar, but he has good music.
I do like going in there and playing records.
Yeah.
I do get a kick out of that.
Well, we're gonna sneak out here.
Alright.
Are we sneaking around?
Are you going, staying?
I just wanna talk to you guys in a second.
We're gonna go to executive session.
I know.
Okay, alright, any motion goes executive session?
Apparently that's me.
Go for it.
Motion to adjourn to executive session for the limited purposes of, do we have anything other than that offer to discuss?
No, I don't think so.
For the limited purposes of discussing the sale of land courtesy of 5 ILCS 120/2C6.
Second.
I'll wait to look on this.
Lizak?
Yes.
Aiden?
Yes.
Harry?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.